I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle word on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm backing up. Hello, I'm Solazar.
Hi, I'm Kirilani, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation, coming to you live on Radio Monterey.
Now, quantum physics tells us that we're all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We're your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is also the owner of Radio Monterey and the producer of the Rhoda Psychic Fair at the Monterey Fairgrounds twice a year. And tonight, in the second hour, we'll talk with Dr. Zhigang Zha about his healing touch. But in this first hour, Kirilani will introduce us to the energy of the week, the month, and the year in her Go With The Flow.
Well, thanks, Solazar, and we have a jam-packed energy week this week. And frankly, this entire month of July is absolutely amazing. So before we drop into the week, I'm going to back up a little bit because we're right in this transfer of power from the creative cycle into the manifesting cycle of the year. So the first 6 months of the year up through June are that time to plant creative seeds. And as we move into July, what we've planted begins to manifest. It is a great time for action. And it's time, particularly in a year that's devoted to the truth and liberation, that requires action in the world. So this is not a year to sit back on the couch and just dream. This is a year to put those dreams in action, aligned with your truth, aligned with your integrity, aligned with the vision of your soul. And that is part of what the energy of July brings you, is this great ability to tap in to your higher truth, to your soul's truth, not just what your mind is telling you, not just what society is telling you or everybody outside of yourself. It's a real go inside and listen to your truth and act each day in alignment with that truth. Take little steps every day in alignment with those dreams. And we've shared with you before what Susan Ariel Rainbow Kennedy Sark shared with us about the micro movements. It doesn't have to be big, giant, huge things. Take baby steps. And everybody has a lot going on in their life right now. We're in a very accelerated period of time. So it's very easy to use the excuse, well, I don't have time, or I'm too busy, or I have all these other things on my plate. And yet, if you can just do the baby steps, you can start making progress. And if you commit to whatever your number one thing is, that number one goal or dream for this year, that number one thing that you want to accomplish at the end of the year that's aligned with your soul, if you're willing to do one little thing every day, the chances of you actually getting there and succeeding are much higher than doing nothing. And your soul is going to help. It's almost like a matching grant program. If you are willing to put in a dollar, your soul is going to match you and help up that to allow you to fulfill those dreams. So there's some things that I've been wanting to do, and I'm one where it's really easy for me to go, oh, I just have too much, or, oh, I just got home from work and I'm tired and I don't want to do this. But I made even something as simple as looking up a phone number of a person I want to call, which is part of whatever the next step is. That's enough that counts as a step. And it only took me How long does it take to do a Google search? It took me, let's say, 60 seconds to accomplish that task. So Sark says it can be 1 minute to, or 30 seconds to 5 minutes, each little micro movement. And you add those up, and she's managed to publish like 15 books using this formula. So it works. So here we are in this beautiful month of July, and we've got all this manifesting energy just bubbling around us. So watch in your life what starts to manifest. And if they are things that you want, applaud them and ask your soul and the universe for more. And if they're not things that you want, then this is a good opportunity, just like a gardener out in the garden, to pluck that weed out and really ask yourself, why did I plant that seed? What is it in me that is still inviting into my life these things that may cause suffering or pain or hardship or whatever it is that is not positive? Ask that question, why? Because this is the time to go all the way down. And think of it like a dandelion. Don't just pull off the top and the leaves. Really dig down to that taproot all the way deep into the soil, deep into the history of your life, your past lives, and say, what is it that this weed in my life is here to teach me right now? Because whatever weeds come up, they mean something. They're not something to be ignored or dismissed or discarded without actually getting to the root or the crux of the issue. Because if you can do that, there's tremendous transformational power that we can use between now and the full moon coming up on Saturday, next Saturday, this coming Saturday, that you can utilize this power of both creation and manifestation to take all of these things that were weeds and turn them into gifts into your life, to say, oh, I get it now. I understand why I have those things. Because if you can transform them for yourself right now, you're also providing that service to the world. And this is a month and a year that's all about aligning your truth to your service, to say, what am I here on this planet to do? What am I here? What are the gifts and talents and abilities I brought into this life to start shining, to start sharing right now in this year that's all about that truth and liberation? So back to those taproots of the weeds. Those are the things that are holding us back. Those are the things that we promised our soul we would be the ones to liberate ourselves from. The things that hold our heart closed. The things that cause our mind to react in automatic patterns, automatic habits, automatic reactions of irritation or anger or frustration. All those are little signs. They're little talismans on the path right now to say, aha, that's one of them. So instead of just trying to get on to the next task, welcome them into your door. Welcome them into your parlor and sit down with them and say, what is it you're here to teach me? What is it I am here to transform? And if we look at the energy of this week, this is a powerful week for that transformational process. Now, I'm going to back up a little bit so you can see the context of what this week creates. We are in this series of major portal openings that started in June and stretch into August. So these are intended to go in and rewire you down to, frankly, your DNA, RNA level, rewire all of your chakras, rewire your whole vibrational blueprint to be what you really came into this life to be, to align to the truth of who you are. And that is going to be a very intense process for everybody. It's going to kick all this stuff up that is holding you back. So it's great timing. We've gone through the physical calibration. We've gone through the emotional and the mental calibrations. And here we are at that juncture between the mental and the spiritual. That is really, for all of us, what this life is about. Because if we can allow our minds to open up into partnership with our spirits, to say all those problems, all those things that we've observed in the world that we said, ah, I didn't think it was going to be like this. I think it should be different. I think it could be better if all those things that have seemed overwhelming in terms of the problems in our life or problems in the world to solve, if we open to our spirit, new possibilities, new options come to the fore. If we collaborate with others and come into full connection, we can shift and transform virtually anything. That is what this time period is asking us to do, to say, will we stand up and say, yes, I will be part of that team? So here we are, the mental body, the spirit knocking at the door saying, will you open up? Will you give up on trying to be in control of everything? Will you be willing to partner with the physical body and with the heart and with the spirit? And if the mental body has enough courage to say yes, or simply comes to the realization that it just can't do it on its own anymore, that's exactly where you want to be. So here we are. We just had 4th of July, a wonderful reminder that we are here for liberation, to remind us that this country was founded on that hope and that promise of freedom and liberation and independence. And if we can think of yourself as like one of those fireworks going off in the night last night, that we are here to shine our light. We are here to shine bright. It's like the Katy Perry song of the fireworks shooting high in the sky to show the beauty and truth of who you are. You are your own fireworks. You are the one that's meant to light up your own darkness inside, and in doing so, transform it into beauty. So we have this beautiful day today that is taking that energy and expanding it, reminding each of us that we are meant to be that bridge between heaven and earth, to be that light, to be that illumination, to be that love and compassion in the world. And as we accept that as our truth and connect to the heavens, connect to the earth, open our hearts, and really allow that receipt of our birthright, not just for this country, but in our lives and as a team working together, we open to a whole new level of prosperity. And then as we go through the rest of the week, we're still in the physical portion of the month. We're going to transition on Tuesday into the emotional part of the month. So remember that Tuesday then is going to be all about opening our heart more and expanding our capacity for unconditional love. Then Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday are like stair steps. They're meant to be times of revelation. So since you're going to be in the emotional body, these are going to come through your interaction with others. These revelations are going to be the ahas, not from your mind, but from your heart. How can you open your heart more? How can you love more? How can you be willing to have the courage to say, I'll transform any of those old wounds. Use it as like a giant wave to bolster your courage. And then as we go in to Friday, mark that on your calendar with big red stars. That is that opening of the mind to the spirit. And if we can do that and say we are willing to open to a life of bliss and ecstasy and love and passion, it's that heart and mind and spirit and physical body all dancing together as one. That is your Friday, and that leads you to Saturday, which is the Christ Moon of Illumination. So allow, as you watch the moon each night, getting fuller and fuller. It was at a quarter moon last night, getting fuller and fuller, coming to its fruition. Know that with each degree, you are allowing that Christ consciousness within you, that capacity for love and light and truth and illumination to expand within you so that you are shining your light as brightly in the world as you ever have in this lifetime. And that, Solazar, is an amazing lineup for our week for the Go With The Flow. I wanted to remind people of the different vibrational tools that they can use as we go through July. If you want to connect in with that energy of July, of expansion and growth, freedom, adventure, and change, you can work with the colors of pink and raspberry and sepia. The aromatherapy is lemon, gardenia, and plumeria. They're really nummy. And stones, carnelian, and blue lace agate. And I want to repeat the ones for this year, since I spoke a lot about self-truth and liberation. You can work with the colors of purple and magenta, aromatherapy of spearmint and geranium, and stones. There's a lot of neat ones, pearl and rose quartz and iolite. So they're all pretty easy to get your hands on, and I find them to be very effective tools to just tap into that energy, to just help yourself shift in the moment. If you get in a place that you might have emotional stuff coming up, a little bit of, you know, if you're prone to depression, don't be surprised. It's going to come up. Let it come up. Let yourself feel down to the depths. And behind that depression, know that, or behind anger, or behind sadness, or behind any of those wounds, those feelings of loss that you might be carrying in your heart, bring them to the surface now. And if you just allow yourself to really feel them fully, give yourself permission to feel them, what I've been told is within 11 seconds, it can clear within 11 seconds, let's say 22 seconds, since that's the number of transformation, that behind each of those feelings, there's just light. And allow the light to shine through and surround any of those feelings and just allow it to transform. So that, Solazar, is our Go With The Flow.
Well, thank you for sharing all that, Kira. And I want to add a few things in for the listeners as well. As a reminder, we spoke last week that Mercury went direct on Tuesday, the 1st of July, and it's back moving through, you know, its beautiful natural place this month. I'm trying to tie this into what you said, so excuse me for my hesitation. This month, and it went direct. It was in Gemini at that time, and this month is really all about communication. Almost the entire month, it really starts again, as we've said before, with our communication with self, and it's going through this whole period of asking us to reexamine all of our communications. And you mentioned the quarter moon from last night, or actually, almost really for us, it was really at its pinnacle about 2 a.m. But that was also a time that it came into a T-square with the sun and moon with Pluto and Uranus. And Uranus is also a great awakener. So we have to remember what we've got. We've got the sun and moon and Pluto and Uranus. And we've got the moon representing our deepest personal needs. We've got the sun, which represents our conscious mind. We have Uranus, which is the great awakener. And it kind of serves as a smack upside the head to bring our attention to things. And then we have Pluto, which is really the great transformer. And so we have all of that hitting us at the same time that Mercury is starting its journey back through direct, going direct. We're still in what we call the shadow of the retrograde for another week. But as Mercury makes that journey through, it is really asking, it's going to be touching every planet, most of the planets, and it's really going to be asking us to pay attention to how we're communicating to ourselves and how we're communicating to others. And this month, I would say, this month of manifestation, as you call it, for me is a month about communication and paying attention to our communication and making sure that we're being very clear, very specific, and our intention is to communicate remember, it's about understanding, not being understood. And if we're trying to understand, we'll be more effective in our communication. So it's really going to be a month that's calling on us to bring out the best of ourselves. You mentioned earlier about bringing out that light, and that's what this month is really about. To bring out the best of ourselves is to bring out our light and not hide it under the darkness. So I just wanted to add that in to a little bit of what you were sharing concerning this coming week, because it applies this coming week, and it may apply every week, but there's certain shifts that are going on throughout the month. But it certainly does apply right now, coming off this first quarter moon.
Well, thanks for sharing that part, because I love the part about the communication. You know, I'm seeing that in my own life, that some of these things where in the past we may have worked on transforming things by going off by ourselves, you know, kind of like the cat that goes and hides in the closet when they have boo-boos, mm-hmm. right? Hides from everyone. And yet that doesn't seem to be working anymore. It seems like as these things come up in our life, it comes from those conversations we have with each other to go to the next level in every one of our relationships, to go to the next level with ourself, to say, okay, I am willing to change whatever these patterns are within me. But the patterns don't get triggered unless you have that interaction with another person.
That's right. And I want to remind folks, too, when you're talking about that Christ moon, remember for us, it's going to be roughly, about 3 in the morning, 3 a.m., the morning of the 12th, when the Christ moon will be at its full power. So even though we refer to it as the 12th, the Saturday the 12th, it's really in the a.m. And
so it's really like Friday night while we're asleep, it becomes full?
Well, it's Saturday morning, calendar-wise, but we would normally say Friday night, yes, but it is the 12th. And so what we want to do is we want to make sure that we consider the 12th as the hub of our portal of the energy of that moon. As we always talk about, Kira, you know, you've got 3 days prior and 3 days after. Consider the 12th the hub. Start working that energy on Wednesday the 9th, and especially Wednesday the 9th, which you show energetically as being kind of a devotion to your soul, to really identifying those critical elements that are important to you in your life. That's an excellent time to start identifying those areas where you want to create intentions, you want to clean out things, you want to attract and bring in things. Wednesday's the great day to start that. Followed by, as you know, Thursday, you've got that alchemical energy coming in. Then everybody, if you want to share with Friday, you know, the energy of Friday the 11th, which is an extraordinarily powerful energy that you brought out to us. You know,
so Friday brings this energy of the 77, which is really about the full realization of who we are. And it is going to go down. It's kind of the exalted next level of that energy of self-truth. It's going to go down to, you know, the core of our being and say, who are you and what are you here for, and are you going to have the courage to stand up and be that in the world?
Yeah, and I wanted to share a little bit, because I think all of this is a jumping off point for some of what I put in the email I sent out and some of the posts on Facebook about freedom in America. You know, we just had the 4th of July celebration yesterday. And I think I had an interesting conversation earlier in the week at the dry cleaners, and they had up all their 4th of July, you know, their little flags and bunting and stuff like that. And I asked her, I said, oh, these are your 4th of July decorations. They said, yes, do you celebrate 4th of July? Or do you put any decorations up? And I said, I'm always suspicious of people who put up the flag. And that got kind of a reaction, because I am suspicious. In the last 15 to 20 years, I've grown a little jaded on the people who put up the flag as to how many really believe what our country stands for, or how many believe they're making a political statement about what they represent, such as, you know, I represent the rights to carry my guns, or I represent the rights to legislate for my Bible. And so I've gotten very jaded about the idea of the flag itself as anything other than what it's intended to be, which is really a symbol of what we say the United States of America stands for. So I had that comment, and she got a little taken aback, but then she kind of smiled and she said, you know, really, it's just a good time to have a barbecue. So I guess I reason told that story was really because I think all of us need to think about what does the 4th of July represent to us? We know for... I'm sorry, go ahead, Kira. You were going to say something.
Well, I was going to add to what you were saying. You know, I think particularly this year because, first of all, to share with the listeners, you know, this country was founded in a year that was a portal of truth and liberation. So vibrationally, if you look at the energy pattern, it's all about freedom. It's all about liberation. It's all about truth. And it's inviting each of us to examine, what do we stand for? You know, what do we want this country to be an example of in the world? What do we want to create with each other? How are we going to be good citizens of the world? And so to me, that's what 4th of July is about, is to reexamine those things and to say, you know, we started with that, it's really encoded almost like a blueprint for this country to be a beacon of freedom, to be a beacon of truth.
Well,
and
see, and
world.
I don't believe that either, so I'm sorry. You know,
I think that's myth. That we have a ways to go in actually achieving that. That our actions in the world over, you know, this last century have not always been consistent with that, right? And there's an opportunity to say, how do we want to be in the world?
Yeah, but that wasn't really where I was kind of going. I was really...
Okay,
I agree.
I'm sorry.
No, I agree with some of your points, certainly about 1776. But I don't think America was founded to be a beacon of anything in the world. I don't think America... I think that ties in too closely with this whole concept of American exceptionalism, like there's something special about America. I think there's something special about that initial spirit that led a group of colonists to rebel against the country that they belonged to, because they literally belonged to Great Britain. I think there's something special that made them craft two very important documents that have gone down in the world history, not just United States history. And that's the Declaration of Independence, which was a document of tyranny and treason, and the Constitution of the United States, which was intended to create a sense of a brotherhood and was styled, by the way, after the agreements of the Iroquois Nation, because they had similar agreements and they were very much a collaborative brotherhood coming together under one council, but not necessarily one leader. And those, I think, are very, very critical elements. To me, those are the things that are important, is what was the spirit that brought people together to craft a document that actually identified them all, the minute they signed it, as traitors and treasonous, to craft a document declaring that there needed to be some representation for the people and not tyranny from the autocrats above. I think that's the spirit of what America is. And it's not so much that America itself was the beacon of freedom. After all, historically, everybody was looking to get a piece of America after the Revolutionary War until the Constitution was even approved. So I think that's just, for me, slightly different from what you said, but I agree with you on what you were talking about 1776. Now, the important part is July 4th is the date that's in question, but 1776 as the year is not in question, and that's where you shared about the power of that year. But Gary, I also wanted to share from last night that one of the things that Lily had pointed out last night was that when she did the numbers for America, the United States, and the United States of America, America represented that energy of unconditionality. It represents the 11, that unconditionality. United States was the 22, and United States of America was the 44. And so what happened is that we've lost the unconditionality. Going back to what you said, because I do agree with it also when you said what we've been doing with it. We've been imposing ourselves in the world. We haven't been role modeling ourselves in the world.
Yeah, interestingly, we have been very conditional, right? So that 11 energy is about unconditionality, but it's also that unconditional love and hope and trust and faith and illumination in the world and compassion in the world. And it seems like a lot of our policies are more based on, well, we'll do this if you comply with that. You know, it's very conditional.
Yeah, it's kind of like, let's go get some. So we're in the get some stage of life. And it's interesting, if we look at what we're doing today from a corporate and geopolitical standpoint, we're doing exactly what Great Britain was doing in the 1700s and the 1600s. They were extending their empire throughout the world. Remember the premise, sun never sets on the British Empire. They extended their empire around the world for the sake of commerce. So Great Britain became the nation of commerce. There were two companies, the British East Indian Company and the British West Indian Company. And they kind of divided up the world geographically. And each of them controlled the commerce through one hemisphere or the other. And when we look at some of what we've done, you know, you mentioned, actually, I don't know that you did mention Iraq, but if we look at the whole issue of Iraq, which we know today, was very much a war of oil. Our interest and intention to get control of a very large oil-producing nation. Well, that was extending our commercial interests in the world. So we created a conflict for the sake of extending our commercial interests in the world. So it's really the same thing. We've lost the soul, and that's what I really... You were on it from a different angle, but it just wasn't the angle I was going for. So I think both, you know, have their points in validity. But I think we've lost the soul because we've lost that 11, as you mentioned. We've lost that unconditionality. And there was a part, there was a spirit, there was an entity, there was a belief system that many people in the colonies felt, and not everybody did. Some people were terrified of splitting from Great Britain. Some people were terrified that we would bear the wrath of the worst of the British Empire and their military. But we did it because there were those that had a vision that was beyond that. Some of them had a vision from a place of purity. Some of them had a vision from a place of commerce. Some of them had a vision from a place of practicality. But nonetheless, they came together to craft that Declaration of Independence. And to me, July 4th is not about those who have served our country in the armed forces or who have lost their lives. July 4th is not an honoring of all those who ever wore a uniform that today we like to call every one of them heroes. To me, July 4th is about the spirit of a group of people who were willing to craft and create something new and different that didn't exist in the world, in the belief that it would be better for all people. And I think that's similar to what you said, but when I said that's not what I was going to say, I didn't mean like what you said was something terrible. I just felt it was just different is all. And I think that's what freedom represents. Freedom represents our ability to get together and make those choices. Now, I am not fomenting tyranny or treason or anything like that. Unfortunately, in this country right now, all those who really speak against the government in most cases are, I believe, are treasonous in the very negative way and not a positive way. But I do believe that each and every one of us owe it to ourselves, especially this year of self-truth, especially this first month of the manifesting cycle, of examining our inner communication and our external communication. We owe it to ourselves to really begin to choose and make the choices in our lives that allow us to be free.
And because you mentioned the Declaration of Independence, and it may not be on the tip of everybody's brain, I just wanted to share part of this, because every time I look at it, it hits me at a really core level that this is still worthy of standing for. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light or transient causes, and accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security.
I mean, think of the power. That is such a powerful preamble. It is such a powerful set of statements. And notice how it says that we shouldn't run around and overthrow every government or throw off every government. But what happened in the colonies, when we go back and look at the history, is that there was this long line of non-representative impositions of taxes, rules, and regulations imposed upon the colonies, because the colonies were just seen as something out there, and they were part of commerce. They weren't part of the citizenry.
And you're saying it in a very nice way, but I saw the colonialism of Great Britain and also what the United States has done as being a form of exploitation of those peoples, of those lands, of those resources. And part of what we're at this juncture of coming in reconciliation of is that, you know, these things are not done in a vacuum, that we're all part of a larger ecosystem. We're all part of this larger world. So when we look at the resources of the planet, they aren't for, you know, one small group to take and exploit.
Well, if we're talking about what happened to indigenous peoples here, that's a different issue. However, the people of the colonies were citizens of Great Britain. Predominantly, yeah. Not all, but predominantly they came from Great Britain. Now, that means that in most cases, they were had started their lives at some point or their ancestry as direct citizens of Great Britain. So to me, that's different than the colonialists here, what they did to the indigenous peoples. So I don't know if you were bringing those two things together when you said that, but I agree with your point 150%. Everything is karmic, and karma is neutral. Today in a conversation, I acknowledge I was wishing ill will towards someone, and the person responded to me, you know, everybody has to go through karma. But karma is truly neutral. Karma is exactly what you said, Kira. Karma is a direct result of the consequences of the actions we've taken. And we see that in so many different stories or tales. That one movie you love so much, Sliding Doors, where it shows that if you shift something by 15 minutes or 10 minutes, the different series of events, the different direction a series of events can take, ultimately they bring you relatively back to a very similar point. But that's the thing about karma. So the karma, for instance, that killed the Plains buffalo to wipe it out and to potentially starve out the Plains Indians, that comes back to us when we have agricultural fields that won't grow, when we start finding ourselves starving. But the same karma that did that, that imposed that policy, is the same karma, for instance, that creates GMOs to poison our food just for the sake of having crops that continue to grow under all conditions, and it's not even healthy food or nutritious. You know, to me, it's the same karma. So I don't think we've left all our karma yet. It's still out there. But, and I don't know if that's where you were looking to go with what you were saying, so I didn't mean to take it off. But I think karma comes back around for all of us. So, and I think it's important for all of us to recognize what we said earlier, too, that America, not the United States, and not the United States of America, but America is what represented to so many people who came here a sense of opportunity, a sense of freedom, and a place where they could do things through hard work and improve their lot in life. And when we look at the policies of the last 30 years, we see a group of people with a fringe direction who are trying to take that away from us. So all I can say is, in this manifesting period, in this year of 2014, each and every one of us owes it to ourselves to take control of our lives, to take back our choices, to not be afraid to stand up and express our choices, and to make sure that sooner or later enough of us, it's as we always said, when one person shines their light in the darkness, it gives others permission to shine their light. And pretty soon, the lights of everybody shining their lights is blinding. We're still lighting lights in the darkness, but each and every one of us are a part of that total light.
And so it's a call to each of us to kind of declare our own sense of independence and liberation, to throw off the shackles of what has been holding us back and binding us within ourselves. What are our beliefs and our attitudes that hold us back? Where are the blocks and the things that are holding our hearts closed? This is the time to allow that liberation of our heart and our mind. And as we do that, new possibilities unfold, new ways of looking at problems unfold, new ways of interacting with each other unfold. And with each of those new choices, we start creating a new and a very different world.
And to me, that's the importance, and thank you for sharing that, because that, to me, is the importance of what I was hoping to share with everyone, that this Independence Day, this July 4th, this July 4th weekend, is not about the auto sales, the mattress sales, the other sales. It's not about the fireworks. It's not about, it's not even necessarily about what we believe, you know, is patriotic in today's day and age. But it is about that spirit of independence, that's freedom, that that belief that anything is possible. And we've got to ensure that we ignite that in ourselves. Without that, we won't move forward. Without that, we won't light our light. And without each and every person's light, we won't have enough light to blind and put away the darkness. I'm starting to believe, Kara, I don't necessarily ask anybody to believe it with me, but I'm starting to believe, knowing that through language, human beings have created the need that when there's a right, there must be a wrong. When there's a good, there must be a bad. Human beings have created this sense of duality in language. I'm starting to wonder if there has to be darkness for every light. I know there's shadow created by those things that block some of the light, but I don't know that there has to be darkness. To me, when I think of darkness, I think of the never-ending story when the darkness was taking over because children no longer believed. I think it's time for all of us to believe again and to recognize that if we put enough light out there, there won't be any darkness. That's my hope for this July 4th weekend, for this Independence Day weekend, for this new month of July 2014. And I think that's the story of America. You know, America is the story of people getting ahead. You know, when we look at the majority opinion that Samuel Alito wrote on the Hobby Lobby case, and we don't have to discuss that, but he essentially continues to write opinions and express opinions that would have kept his own family from getting ahead when they came to America. Where does that type of blind arrogance come from? It really comes from not enough people in the light standing up to that darkness. That's what I believe.
So, Solazar, I think tonight then it makes sense to close out with our peace meditation.
All right. If you would like to do that, we might as well do that now. We'll let folks know. We'll be back again at the second hour. We have a pre-recorded conversation with Dr. Zhigang Zha, the healing touch and the healing hands. It's really powerful. He does some wonderful healing mantras and songs during it. It's very, very entertaining. We, of course, will be back live next week, 7 to 9 p.m., as you always like to say, Kara, your date on Saturday night. And for those who are listening, is there anything else you'd like to add, Kara, before we go into the meditation?
Well, I would like people to put the final Wednesday of the month on their calendar, that we all get together and have a conversation about the upcoming month, so that people can see what the energy is going to be like and how to take advantage of that. So,
and that's mentioned in the second hour.
Put that on your calendar and.
Yeah, and that's in the second hour that we do bring that up, and we mention the date. I believe it's the 30th of July. And so we do want to remind folks, too, to sign up for our email list if they already haven't, and also to pay attention for more changes going on with Good Vibrations Radio as well as Radio Monterey. So anything else that you'd like to add, Kara?
Well, I just wish to all of the listeners blessings that as they enter this manifesting part of the year, that all of their greatest dreams come to fruition and become not just dreams, but their reality.
All right. So I'm going to ask everybody, if you're driving, to pay attention to your driving. Just give us your intention, not your focus. And for everyone else, to get in a comfortable position. So we're doing the meditation to the music Hope from Sean Paul and by courtesy of Sean Paul Productions. Dwight Eisenhower reminded us, we seek peace knowing that peace is the true climate of freedom. Attract world peace. Thoughts become things, whether conscious or unconscious.
Mother Teresa said, if we have no peace, it's because we've forgotten that we belong to each other.
The law of attraction states, that which is like unto itself is drawn. We've attracted our current circumstances with our past thoughts and actions. Let's try again.
As John F. Kennedy said, the problems of the world can't possibly be solved by skeptics or cynics whose horizons have become limited by the obvious realities. We need men who can dream dreams that never were.
The law of attraction tells us to dream of a world at peace. Believe it's possible. Dare to change your thoughts and act as if we're at peace.
Gandhi told us, you must be the change you wish to see in the world.
And Bernard Baruch said, if the history of the past 50 years teaches us anything, it's that peace does not follow disarmament. Disarmament follows peace.
John F. Kennedy shared, one person can make a difference, and every person should try.
One of the greatest modern statesmen, Winston Churchill, taught us that courage is what it takes to stand up and speak. Courage is also what it takes to sit down and listen.
Visualize a world at peace. Martin Luther King Jr. asked us to take the first step in faith. You don't have to see the whole staircase. Just take the first step.
John F. Kennedy said that peace is a daily, a weekly, a monthly process, gradually changing opinions, slowly eroding old barriers, quietly building new structures. Attract world peace.
Nelson Mandela taught us, if you want to make peace with your enemy, you'll have to work with your enemy, and then he becomes your partner.
And Moshe Dayan told us, if you want to make peace, don't talk to your friends. Talk to your enemies. Act as if we're at peace.
Harry Truman said, it is understanding that gives us an ability to have peace. When we understand the other fellow's viewpoint and he understands ours, then we can sit down and work out our differences.
The Dalai Lama told the world, each of us must learn to work not just for oneself or one's own family or nation, but for the benefit of all humankind. Universal responsibility is the key to human survival. It's the best foundation for world peace.
Buddha reminded us that all that we are is a result of what we've thought.
Be grateful for a world at peace.
Attract world peace.
Believe our world is at peace.
Albert Einstein taught that imagination is everything. It's the preview of life's coming attractions. Attract world peace.
The Dalai Lama shared, love and compassion are necessities, not luxuries.
And Maya Kincaid shared a message from the humpback whales. Peace does not occur by changing your neighbor, your friend, or politician. It happens when humans take the personal responsibility to be peace itself. It begins at home with a peaceful heart.
Think of the changes that would occur in the lives of people you know. Not to mention how this would ripple out to others. Imagine how your life would change by this simple practice. Attract world peace.
Attract world peace.